Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The MassPike interchange in Alston is getting a makeover. The state's current proposal comes with a price tag of about $1 billion, and it includes, among other improvements, a brand new commuter rail stop called West Station. But there's a catch, because the state has proposed opening West Station by 2040. That's right, we're talking 22 years from now. So last week, at a joint board meeting with MassDOT and the MBTA's Fiscal Management Control Board, Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack said that the state's focus right now is on highway construction and commuter rail layover space, not on public transit services, changes, or additions.
This is not a service planning exercise. We have no idea what service will be in 2040. Right now, the service we run is the Framingham line and the bus routes that Jeff showed you. That's it.
Well, we invited both Secretary Pollack and the MBTA to participate in today's conversation. They both declined. But joining us is Jim Aloisi. He's former transportation secretary for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and a principal at the Pemberton Square Group. He's written a lot about West Station. We have links to that at radioboston.org. Jim, it's good to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Wendy Landman. She's executive director of Walk Boston and a member of the Alston I-90 Interchange Task Force. Wendy, it's good to have you as well.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And I just want to throw a number out to listeners here. Because do you travel through the Alston area on your commute? I mean, should the state be making West Station a priority? Do you agree with Secretary Pollack that maybe we ought to wait till we know what the transportation needs of 2040 are before we build a new station like that, or not? Are we missing a golden opportunity here? I want to hear from you. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Jim, so let me start with you. You do not like the fact that the state says now is not the time. Why?
Well, now is the time. Look in real time at what we're doing around the region in terms of transit and encouraging people to use transit. We didn't build the Silver Line after the Seaport District was built out. We built it before. We didn't build the Orange Line station at Assembly Square after Assembly Square was built out. We built it before. The way you build transit is to build it before the development, not after. Now, we can talk about whether there's ridership or not. The answer is there is ridership. There will be ridership. And if you build it, they will come.
I was just going to say, whatever happened to that?
This has happened to us in real time at Boston Landing, the commuter rail station that people are familiar with, and happens everywhere else. Look, to wait a generation to build West Station means a lot of things. It means that we're condemning everybody, every listener who lives in Metro West or in the Worcester area, who needs to drive into Boston on a congested turnpike, has no realistically viable rail alternative other than the commuter rail that's failing them every day. West Station being built early in connection with some other improvements to that line can give those people the opportunity they need to access jobs in places like jobs-rich Kendall Square in downtown Boston. To wait a generation to build West Station, which is really what we're talking about, is an unheard-of drag on bringing sustainable mobility to the urban core.
Well, so Wendy Landman, let me get your view here because you're a member of the Alston I-90 Interchange Task Force. You heard that tape we played earlier of Secretary Pollack saying that they're really focused on the needs of drivers and highways right now.
Well, I think the task force started talking about West Station at the very first meeting that we had, and we've talked about it at every meeting since. I think the degree of support in that task force and from everybody we've heard, from the close to 500 letters that were written to MEPA in response to the state's draft environmental impact report, there's just a surge of interest in the station. And I think to turn the discussion a little bit to what it means, when we look at the Seaport District, there's a lot of disappointment that it doesn't feel as pedestrian friendly and as integrated a piece of the city as it should be. And that has transit, not as good as it should be, but it has some transit. The idea of building an entire new neighborhood and really getting it going without transit sets the stage for something that I think is not going to end up where we want to be.
So, you know, as both of you know, here on this show, we've talked so much year after year. And that's because, you know, people in Massachusetts talk about this, about the need to build a 21st century transportation infrastructure for the Commonwealth. One would think that this Alston plan presents a golden opportunity for us to say, here's what we envision as a 21st century important transportation node for Greater Boston. So what kind of vision is the state putting forth then?
Well, excuse me, it's not a sustainable mobility vision. If we're going to – I wrote a piece that's up in Commonwealth Magazine today, and I basically said we have an opportunity here, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to take a site that historically has been auto-centric and industrial, rail, and automobile use wasteland, and to transform it into a multimodal ecosystem that responds to how people – want to move and live today, to have a station that's vibrant and that connects people to jobs, to have walking and cycling and other transit connections that provide people with the kind of mobility we know that in this city today and in the future people want. We're going to tell everyone who's alive today they've got to wait a full generation for something to happen there. And that is a recipe, I think, for disaster, because we're looking backward, not forward. We need to be looking at sites like West State, like Alston Landing, and thinking that these are the opportunities we must grab a hold of today in order to prepare for a better future.
Yeah. Wendy, go ahead.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with what Jim just said, and I think that, again, has been what the task force has been saying since the first day. Please don't look at this. This is not a highway rebuilding project. This is a community building project, and it needs to be inclusive of all transportation modes, and it needs to be inclusive of the relationships that people who come to live and work in Boston have with the natural environment, the Charles River, with the existing neighborhoods. It's a way to re-knit the city.
Yeah.
And I think we're disappointed that we seem to be headed in a direction that says this isn't a highway replacement project when it shouldn't be.
Right. I mean, it's so massive that it shouldn't just be limited to that sort of perspective, I think.
Exactly.
So I just want to sort of explore here whether or not we're also trapped in kind of a somewhat typical Massachusetts bureaucratic knot here, because Transportation Secretary Pollack did say at that joint board meeting that I referenced earlier that when it comes to deciding, you know, what kind of services to add and therefore, you know, what kind of station and infrastructure we need, that really that's up to the MBTA. Here's what she said.
What we're trying to do is not punt and not say that the questions are the wrong questions, but we're trying to say they belong in MBTA-led service planning exercises, because ultimately the T will have to decide if they're going to run those services.
So we reached out to the T about this specifically today, and MBTA spokesman Joe Pesaturo sent us back a response saying, the types of service planning that the secretary referred to would come after many of other more fundamental decisions about exactly where, exactly when, and with what specific design elements a West Station would be built. With those decisions in place, a planning process would be needed to determine the optimal mix and types of services to run. So the state's saying it's up to the T saying it's up to it's up to the state. The hands are not talking to each other, Jim.
Well, they may be. They're probably talking to each other. They're just not getting their selves coordinated. Look,
I don't know how do you come to a good decision with these two perspectives right now.
Well, you can't. And so I think we all in the advocate community need to be very clear and precise, saying we can't squander this opportunity. People coming from Metro West and Worcester looking to access jobs here. There's a reason why Microsoft and Google and Draper Labs all have letters in to the Secretary of Environmental Affairs saying, we want West Station now. There's a reason for that. They want to give people access to jobs. And we have conversations all the time in Massachusetts about regional equity, about social equity, and the connections to transit. If you don't build West Station in the short term, you have turned your back on regional equity and you've turned your back on social equity, because as we're displacing people outside of Boston, they need to come back into the city to access jobs. Nodes like West Station help them do it. So if we're serious about regional and social equity, and if we're serious about sustainable mobility, providing people with alternatives to driving their vehicles in and out of the city, we've got to improve the commuter rail system to a more regional rail system, as I've talked about before,
yep.
And we've got to build stations like West Station, which can be a true spark for something really exciting happening at Alston Landing.
So, but Wendy, let me just come back to the fact that it seems as if the that MassDOT and the T are they on the same page about this or not? It's not clear to me.
Well, of course, we're sitting outside those agencies.
Yeah.
We certainly think that they should be talking with each other. In fact, they are all under the umbrella of MassDOT. They
right.
are a unified agency. I think it's a disconnect that is probably based in the way that they functioned for many years when they weren't so connected and hasn't quite come to full fruition. I think Jim's probably in a better position than I am to answer that question since he sat at the agency when this was happening. It's a big and complicated set of decision making, but it certainly seems from the outside like that conversation should be completed internally. But it is something that has happened for years, that some of the planning for transit has happened under the MassDOT umbrella rather than in the MBTA umbrella, and it seems at this point to be continuing to some degree.
Enlighten me, Jim.
Look, I think honestly the answer you received makes it seem much more complicated than in fact it is, right? There is leadership at the FMCB and there's leadership at the T, and that leadership decides these things, pure and simple. And those are one and the same.
But they're not. But they're saying that they're not being the deciding force.
Well, I
here.
Understand that.
Okay. Something for us to follow up on Radio Boston. We've got this comment on Twitter. M.A. Williams is telling us that we need a bunch of transit in that area. The Innovation District is going in, and all of us whose offices are moving there in 2020 need to be able to get to work. We also need to cross town transit to that area from the west. We don't want to have to buy a second car to get from JP to Alston. Transform that area so we can work quickly. Wendy, what do you think?
I think the comment is absolutely correct. Again, from the very beginning, we've been saying we need transit across the site, that is buses or some form of bus transit that connects, for example, from Harvard Square and Alston to the Longwood Medical area, that's a piece of that would go through West Station, that would connect with the rail that West Station would provide. And we've also been talking about walking and biking connections
yeah.
throughout that actually connect to the river, that connect the area, the two parts of Alston that have long been divided by the railroad tracks and the highway. So this is really an opportunity to create that. And I agree completely that we need to think about that in the planning for the area and to include it in West Station.
All right. So M.A. Williams talked about the innovation area, but I think she was referring to, or he or she, whoever M.A.
Right.
is, sorry. But that Harvard is developing the
right.
site there, dozens and dozens of acres, right? And Secretary Pollack said that I want to do West Station when it makes sense to do West Station. For me, it's not about arbitrary years. It's about when the development happens that generates what we need to serve. Now, if I understand correctly, Harvard has committed to making some kind of interim station by 2025. Is that right?
Harvard has committed to funding, partially, an early phase West Station.
About $8 million.
About $8 million. Yeah, okay. Not a lot of money. But look, no one's asking anybody to build the final comprehensive full build-out West Station tomorrow. If we had a commitment to build an early phase West Station that began to set a marker for this thing, a lot of us would say that's an achievement. Let's move on. Maybe that's where we'll end up at the end of the day. But deferring the building of any transit facility at Alston Landing for a full generation, I won't even tell you how old I'll be in 2040, is a mistake. It's a generational mistake, and it's the kind of mistake that you don't get a second chance at fixing once you've made it.
Yeah. So I want to play another piece of tape here from Secretary Pollack, because I mentioned at the very, very top of our conversation that the state is also concerned about layover space for trains that are already running. And Secretary Pollack did raise concerns about the fact that a new commuter rail stop would be nice for the future. I believe she also said there's a current need for layover space with trains that are already running, right?
Well, we don't need layover space if we can move trains more frequently off-peak during the day. That's part of the issue here. If we're going to give people better inner-city rail service, let's not let them sit idle at a layover station that prevents other good things from happening. Let's have them moving all day long and give people an opportunity to get to and from places sustainably.
Okay, so I want to. So I wanted to play what?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I want to just play the tape that we have of Secretary Pollock and why she said she has these concerns.
The Worcester line was built with insufficient layover. It doesn't have enough layover today, let alone in the future.
I
understand why the community wants the station first. The T wants layover first. It actually has layover in its 5-year capital budget. It doesn't have service.
Wendy, I just want to know what your take is on this.
Well, again, I want to endorse what Jim said.
Yeah.
And I think, importantly, Jim is part of an organization called Transit Matters that put out a really interesting report on regional rail, which talks about running the system not as simply commute in the morning, commute out in the evening, but actually running our commuter rail infrastructure as a regional rail system that provides service all day. Keolis is interested in that. They've been talking about it themselves. They've been exploring some of the very same things that Transit Matters has explored. And by the way, the MBTA is also studying that. So I think it's really short-sighted to think about storing trains rather than using trains.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of the setup that using this valuable space just to have the trains sit there as opposed to actually using them in a way that provides more service for more people. And I think Jim's absolutely right about that.
So we have less than a minute to go. I just want to ask you a dollars and cents question. So we said that the whole development is roughly $1 billion, right? And that would include West Station in 2040, but ostensibly, right? But I mean, I think estimates I'm seeing of the total cost just for West Station would be between $89 to $96 million. I mean, bringing that forward, where is this, does the state have the money for that now, Jim? We just got about 30 seconds.
So we think a lot of us who are looking at this carefully think that's a very inflated number, first of all. Secondly, as I say in my piece in Commonwealth today, the state's about to spend an additional $100 to $175 million to replace the elevated turnpike as an elevated highway.
Right.
As
rather
opposed
than
to
grade.
An at grade.
Right.
So
yeah.
There's money if we want to use money. It's just the question of do we want to do it.
Well, Jim Aloisi is the former Transportation Secretary for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. He's a principal at the Pemberton Square Group. And we'll link to your piece. That's in Commonwealth Magazine. We'll put a link to it at radioboston.org. Jim, thanks a lot. And Wendy Landman, Executive Director of Walk Boston and a member of the Alston I-90 Interchange Task Force, thank you as well.
Thank you. Glad you had us on.
Well, that's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.